FTA Technologies.
Something is going on at the Small Business Administration. Accusations of whistleblower retaliation, turkey farming, hostile work environment, and widespread morale problems. The OSC investigated. SBA says they're trying to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. What's the real story? Join me, Jason Miller, next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning at 7:05 for my special investigative series, Discouraged and Disrespected at SBA, exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
When snow hits the D.C. region, turn to federalnewsradio.com to find out whether your agency will be open, closed, or delayed. And while you're there, sign up for our email alerts for the same great information.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Wyatt Cash. Wyatt's the content director and editor-at-large for 1105 Media and Events. Wyatt, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Thanks for coming in, man, or phoning in, as it were. I appreciate the time. I know you're busy because you've got like 3 tons of events there at 1105, and the moose in the summer, Fosse, is always the industry biggie. But let's start with a little background on you and how you got into this market.
Well, as you know, about 6 years ago, I got a call from the Washington Post company. They had the group that published GCN and had discussed taking over their editorial news operations. And it looked like a very exciting opportunity, and I decided to take it. And so since then, of course, Government Computer News and Washington Technology and Defense Systems, and along with the Fosse show, it was eventually bought by a company called 1105 Media, which has a number of properties that specialize in technology in the public sector and education space and some others. And so I've been pretty much editor-in-chief at Government Computer News all that time. I took on additional duties at Defense Systems as editor-in-chief, and just recently made the move to help the events division at 1105 with its content direction strategies and partnerships.
Okay. Now, when I heard that the Post Newsweek folks had, and this is back in the David Green days, right?
That's right.
David let me know that he was bringing in a new editor, so I immediately thought, I need to know this person. So in a relationship-driven market, and we're going to be talking about relationships tangentially throughout this interview, I thought, what better way to build a relationship with Wyatt Cash than to host a little dinner? So before you even started, we got together at the Tower Club. You and me and Olga Gurkovic, and I believe Dendy Young was there.
And Emery Miller.
Emery was there. and I was Stan Soloway at that one?
I don't think at that one, but okay. We've certainly crossed paths since then.
I put together some people I thought you should know, and they should certainly know you. But it was my way of getting on your radar.
Well, and you did a good job, and I think you've hit the nail on the head in that, this business obviously depends on building trust with people and not just relationships, and appreciated that chance to just get to know you and come to know and admire your work and kind of the efforts that you make in helping the marketplace do a better job of reaching the government technology sector.
Yeah. And, a few months back when I heard that you had moved from a purely editorial position at GCN into the content guy for probably all of 1105's government events, I initially I was a little perplexed. I think it makes more sense now. But give me an idea of the scope of that role, and then I want to get into some event criteria.
Well, I'd be glad to. First, I totally enjoyed the opportunities I had at Government Computer News in the chief editor's role. But the main thing that also allowed me to do was to be in the marketplace and get to meet a lot of the decision makers. And over time, I believe that trying to understand what their needs are and turning that into products and services editorially that meet those needs in a specialized way is something I've always enjoyed doing. So candidly, if it was print or online or in live events, it's all about meeting customer needs. So the transition to events was actually easier than many people might suspect. At the same time, it also represents an area of opportunity that our company thought deserved some more attention. And so the president of our company came down and chatted with me one morning over breakfast and asked if I'd consider it. And I said, change can be good and challenges can be better. So I decided to make the leap, and so far it's been good. And in part because we really have a pretty broad portfolio of conferences. We put on 17 events this year in the way of conferences and expos, including FOSSE and GovSec and some long-standing conferences such as Knowledge Management and Enterprise Architecture. But we also put on a number of other events such as Tech Mentor and Visual Studio that kind of reach out to the technical and developer communities that a lot of people might not know about. And at the end of the day, I think what we're looking at is ways to just continue to make them more effective, more valuable, and bring more fresh ideas to our audience.
Okay. Now, that gets me into an area that I'd love to talk about. We both know that there are about 100 events a day at bare minimum across the country focusing on various aspects of doing business with the government, particularly as it relates to anything technology. A lot of the vendors out there are like 1105 and, maybe Federal Business Council, Digital Government. There's a lot of companies that have bandwidth here, if you will. I prefer to call it pedigree. But there's a lot of companies that don't, and they're coming into the government market on a part-time basis, et cetera. Give us a feel for your event selection criteria.
Well, first of all, I'll agree with you. There's no shortage of players wanting to create events. But I think you're also right that we are in a time where time is remarkably tight, and people picking events really need to sense a value to it. And just parading a couple of high-profile speakers that everyone's heard of and having panel discussions, although that can be constructive, it's certainly harder to say this is going to really help your job. And at the end of the day, that's what you need to be focused on. I think the thing that will separate the winners from the also-rans in this market is something you mentioned, I think the pedigree and credentials, but mostly just the resources of information. And I think the companies and 1105 Media is not alone, but those that have publications that are out there every week or month in print, online, every day, and reporting staffs that are showing up at these meetings, chronicling what's going on, interviewing the decision makers, and publishing that online, give organizations that are producing events like ours a huge head start in the sense that we have a better feeling for what the trends are and where on the arc attention is needed. We have a lot of relationships that are really hard to earn and not as easy as some new players coming into the market. They'll discover that it's not that easy to just, make a phone call and get them to show up. And I think at the end of the day, it's still about giving value to attendees that they'll come, and then having the right attendees for the sponsors. I think an interesting development is the number of industry and integrator players that are holding their own events. One side of our business, besides the 17 major conferences we have, is custom events, where I think we have almost 40 events where we schedule a morning packed with a couple of important speakers that are single sponsored. And it's proof to us that there's a lot of need still for industry to get in front of a group of decision makers, and events are kind of an unusual, or I'll say at least distinctive way to get in front of them in an effective way. So I think we're going to produce almost 40 or 50 of those custom events in addition to the 17 major conferences that we do. So we have a pretty good footprint. On the same hand, you know, there is a lot of competition, and you always got to keep improving to stay ahead.
Yeah, you do. My guest today is Wyatt Cash. Wyatt's the content director and editor-at-large for 1105 Media and Events. When we come back, we're going to delve deeper into the 1105 portfolio of events and events in the government market in general. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Rain and snow might be brushed off by a material that mimics spider hair. It also offers the promise of self-cleaning products. Spiders apparently stay dry because of their messy and uneven hair. So Wolfgang Sigmund, a University of Florida engineer, mimicked their disheveled dew on the surface of a plastic film.
The structures almost look like they're damaged or bad because the hairs are crooked, some are completely bent, the distance varies in between the hairs.
Microscopic images show that chaotic physical structure keeps water droplets in a perfect sphere and the new material dry and clean.
Basically, with the water that's rolling off, the dirt is being transported away.
And Sigmund says repelling water with physics rather than chemistry may pose fewer health risks. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We've seen a lot of job losses, layoffs, companies leaving, companies shutting down.
We ship too many jobs out of this country. Putting people to work in the United States is what it's all about.
EATS North America is ready to support 48,000 American jobs right now. The Pentagon is deciding who will build the next generation of military aerial refueling tankers. And EATS North America has the only modern tanker, the KC-45, that's proven and flying today. Here's what real workers who will build the KC-45 in America have to say.
If EATS North America wins, it will mean a lot to this community, for our families to know that there'll still be jobs here, not only for us, but even for our children.
I know for my family, EADS would put more food on our table.
Go to KC45now.com. Tell Congress to stand with these American workers. Let EADS North America put 48,000 Americans to work right away.
Being an Army veteran, the fact that I have a part in manufacturing something that is going to protect my fellow soldiers, that makes me proud. KC-45, real American tanker, real American jobs.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Wyatt Cash, Content Director and Editor-at-Large of 1105 Media and Events. You can find them at 1105govinfo.com. Wyatt, because of the number of events that 1105 does, you know, both the 1105 branded events and the events that you're doing custom for specific vendors or specific technologies, let's talk a little bit about the size of the event versus the quality of the attender.
Sure. Well, you know, I think, number one, the size of the event really can be misleading. What really most of the sponsors and even attendees want is an event that's the right size for tackling specific topics. And, you know, our events, our conferences typically range in, you know, between 300-400 to 500 attendees over a 2 or 3 day program, and of course we have FOSSI, which is really part of the larger kind of event with an exposition where we have about 24,000 people that register, and we audit the number of people that attend. Typically, you know, there's a real solid 12,000 to 13,000 people that will make it to the show, attend fully, and, you know, 75%, almost 95% rather are government employees, both in the military and civilian agencies. So those are the kind of ranges of people, but it comes back to, you know, are we on topic and on target with it, and are we presenting not just the higher quality discussions, but facilitating a learning experience that people can say, I can actually put that to work back at the office. And that's what we really strive for.
Okay, because, you know, there have been a number of events, you know, since I've been in the market, which is, you know, about going on 30 years. So, you know, early on, especially in the 80s, size was the major motivator. You know, back then, FOSSI, you know, when National Trade Productions ran it, they announced the attendance numbers the last day at about, you know, 2 p.m. right before the exhibit hall closed. And it'd be, you know, 50, 60, well, a couple of times 70,000 people had traipsed through the exhibit halls. And, you know, it was cool, but the numbers don't mean anything in and of themselves. There was a show back then called Fed Unix, which never had more than 4,000 or 5,000 people come through. But if you were in the Unix world, it was the event to be at. So, from your perspective, you know, I kind of a commercial question, I guess, but can you generally count on the right people showing up at 1105 events?
Well, I think, you know, in general, we can. I think in part because of the reputation that we've earned that says what we present will reflect the work that they also read every week in Federal Computer Week and in Government Computer News, et cetera. And number two, I think, you know, they recognize the program and speakers as being the kind of information that may be of help. I will say this, you're right, the days of big shows and big attendance are certainly have peaked. I would also say that these days it's no longer enough just to have a show. You really need top shelf conference content, and I think that's part of what's new here, in the sense that we're putting a lot more energy into growing and improving the quality of the conference content. So we're hard at work on that.
Okay, cool. So from there, let's get into a little bit of what's new, really, at 1105, because there's been a reshaping of your organization around the content idea.
Well, I think not exactly. Content has always been at the heart of our publications and our events. What is different, I think, is a reflection of two things. One, I think your audience knows as well as all of us that, you know, what's happening in the world of print media and the business model for advertising has changed, and we all need to adapt to it. And our strategy here at 1105 Media is to continue to support those publications, but like all companies, we need to find growth, and we have a lot of platforms on the event side that, you know, with better care and more strategic planning, I think, can really represent growth vehicles. And that was what the president of 1105 Media, Neil Vitale, concluded. And so one of the things that has changed is the decision that was enacted pretty much last July and August to bring in a stronger management team. We've hired three executives from another company that was very successful in the events business. They brought them in, and they also restructured some of the way we operate, so there's more support on the sales, marketing, and now content side. And part of the thought here in my coming on board was to reach out to the community and do some things, so we are also improving the content. So what you really see at the end of the day is certainly no less commitment to the print and online products, but a greater emphasis and investment strategy to support the events business, because we feel like that's an area for growth. And, you know, I think it's interesting. We did some research, as we do every year, and ask government IT folks, you know, what are the most important IT information sources for you? And the results were that websites are now, not surprisingly, on the top of the list. 69% said that that's where they go. But the number two item or source was events, in-person conferences and trade shows, at 59%. And interestingly, print magazines and white papers were right behind at about 58%. So clearly events represent a high value and high demand kind of arena for conveying information in the market.
Yeah, and they always have. And, you know, it goes back to the relationship concept. When you start talking to a person face to face, that's when you start really developing a comfort level of this person knows my needs, he understands my pain points, and you know it's he or she is a decent human being, and I certainly wouldn't mind buying from him if a vehicle were available for me to do so.
And then of course the dynamic on that is, after a lot of good time and investing in relationships, they leave. And there's a significant amount of churn, both in the government side and on the industry side. So I think that's the other part that drives this, is the need to continue to meet the new people taking
right
over existing positions.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have about a minute and a half, and I don't know if we're going to touch on this deeply or not this time, but I know that GCN has expanded circulation and FCW is more focused these days. Do you want to touch on that for me?
Yes. We've taken another step in a strategy that we started about 3 years ago when the publications were acquired and put together. In a nutshell, Federal Computer Week continues to reach out to the, I'll call it the C-suite, the executive and program management part of government, and Government Computer News is reaching the IT implementers, the CIOs, the CTOs, and the IT administrators. And what is different is the circulations have been refined in the market. GCN now has gone up to 100,000 circulation to federal and an increase in state and local government IT people.
Mm-hmm.
Federal Computer Week dialed back just slightly to a solid 80,000 of top executives, including all the IT executives, and they're really focused, you know, at reaching more of that program manager, chief financial officer, as well as the CIOs about policy and management decisions. And then that's reflected online as well. So I think it's just a reinforcement of the positions that they had been on, and a new, stronger position in the marketplace, a little more distinctive ones.
Cool. My guest is Wyatt Cash, excuse me. He's the content director and editor at large for 1105 Media and Events. Again, you can find them at 1105govinfo.com. When we come back, we're going to delve deeply or more deeply into FOSSE, the new FOSSE Institute, and other 1105 events. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information, 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the national toll-free helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. A new study has implications for parents dealing with a child who watches violent TV or plays violent video games. Dr. Jordan Grafman at the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke recommends limiting the frequency and the intensity of their exposure to aggression.
And that ranges everything from using computers and devices to making sure if they live in a community where there's a lot of aggression that they have alternative activities to participate in. You want to break up their exposure or experience to violent activity. So you want to control it, and be an active parent and know where your kids are and what they're doing, and that should help.
For details on the study, visit www.ninds.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What's the buzz in the federal community? Chris Dorbeck knows it. Join Chris for his new show, The Dorbeck Insider, weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio AM. Chris has the insights on who's coming and who's going, new memos, new contracts, fun and helpful ways for federal managers to improve agency productivity while meeting mission goals. The Dorbeck Insider, building federal community by connecting people. Weekday afternoons on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Wyatt Cash, Content Director and Editor-at-Large for 1105 Media and Events. And basically, this means he's responsible for adding content value to a variety of events. And let's start with the real moose in the market, Wyatt Fosse. Fosse's 35th year. Wow.
That's right. It even surprised me when we were talking about it the other day.
Bob Harrar started Fosse, I believe, when he was 19 years old.
Probably did. Yeah. Well, no, I think Fosse, has evolved much like the market, but at the, we've also recognized that, it continually needs to be refreshed and focused, and I think we've got a lot of exciting things that we are already well along in bringing to Fosse this year. Just very briefly, one is a much more robust national conference about technology and government that will be going on during the three-day exposition, which is July 19th through the 21st this year. And just briefly, the major themes, one is enabling the mobile government workforce. It's a huge issue with teleworking, and as we all found out with this snowstorm, just how important it is to just let people work wherever it is that they are. The second area, which we've been working on, but we're strengthening both with exhibit space on the floor that's concentrated and also a very robust set of conference programs, is around the area of cybersecurity and network defense and information assurance. The third is next generation infrastructure strategies, which of course includes cloud computing, but the huge effort by the Vivek Kundra's office in the 25-point IT reform program that puts a huge emphasis now on cloud first, but also data center consolidation. How do you migrate your existing data centers and network infrastructure into newer, less expensive, or more elastic kinds of infrastructure is a very hot topic. It's not an easy one, and huge cost pressures in the background. And so how do we get there will be a third major area that we'll focus on. And we'll also be looking at defense innovations. In many ways, we all know the defense sector, which once led in technology innovation, is really trying to play catch-up with what goes on in the commercial market. But a lot of people have lost sight of a lot of really exciting innovations that are helping the civilian agencies and first responders. And then finally, we're going to be looking at the federal IT agenda for 2012 and expect a great lineup of speakers, to really talk about what we see really evolving, particularly in this new economic environment. So that's both the conference sessions and the floor. And then one other new thing we'll have is a mobile and government apps expo, where we really want to focus on the kind of applications that actually can make government employees more productive. And I think this is another element that will be new about Fosse. We've traditionally wanted to reach out to the IT buyers. What we really want to do now is also reach out to the IT users, the early adopters that are finding new ways to be productive. And we know apps are a new, not so new, but a growing force in that effort. So we're putting spotlights on all this, as well as a lot of exciting new things on the floor. And I wish I had more time, but that's a quick recap.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we do have a little bit of time here, and I don't want to restrict it, but I mean, let's just touch on one of those areas. We're recording this on Friday, later Monday. The last 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday of now last week, were horrific drive time days for a variety of federal employees. Some people having 8+ hours on the road on their return trip. Fossey actually back in 1992 and 93, because I was on the board of Fossey way back then. I was also a fan of a program in the government called the Cooperative Admin Support Unit Program, CASU program, which under their auspices, the first telework centers were set up in the early 90s around Washington, D.C. There were four or five initially in Virginia and Maryland, and you know, people were in, and some people were encouraged to use them. So, I mean, the telework idea has been with us for a while. Explain very briefly why sometimes these concepts take so long to take root.
Sure. Well, I think three things on that. Number one is that, you know, just the infrastructure with under federal regulations with security requirements has made it a challenge for people to work from their home PCs, even with virtual network access. And there's just a lot of hoops to jump through. And then how do you support those people from the traditional help desk mentality? So the infrastructure has been and continues to be kind of a challenge. I think the second thing is that we are also in a new age of collaboration tools and productivity adders that where social networks, though we often think of Facebook and Twitter, you know, have nevertheless allowed more people to work jointly. But using those systems, what do we archive? What are the rules of engagement? What does the legal staff have to say? It's all delayed efforts to implement them. And then I think thirdly, you know, we're still looking at you know, the technology is not foolproof. Look at all the power outages that we had this week, and if you don't have power, suddenly you're cut off from the network too. So we still have a ways to go, I think, before we can make this as robust as we all like it to be.
Good point. So, you know, Fossey, the July time frame, a little later than usual. You know, historically it was, you know, March, April. So at least, you know, March, you know, I remember a couple of times when attendance was down because we had the snow. And you can't telecommute to an event, not a live event anyway.
Well, we certainly probably won't need to worry about snow in July, and it's true. This is a new time frame for us. It kind of had to do with availability of dates from the Washington Convention Center, and we did get bumped into a new time slot. But we're looking at it as a kind of a fresh way of bringing a new message and approach to Fossey. And, you know, I think one of the traditional things is the sense that, you know, a lot of the buying decisions were made in March and April. And I don't think that's really the case anymore. If our research shows that the key season for defining programs and setting budgets is still October to December. So you really need to reach people well before March and April. And interestingly, the folks that are the prime time for actually acquiring and purchasing products is in the April, June, and July, September quarters, although January and March a lot gets bought too, which suggests two things. One is that, you know, people are buying stuff all year, but we do know that the end of the fiscal year represents important buying opportunities. So we think July could actually be kind of an exciting and a dynamic opportunity to, you know, help the marketplace, and we'll certainly see.
Yeah, and you and I discussed this before the show, yesterday actually, that way back when there was also a show called Fed Micro, which was a summer show, and it was designed for showcasing technologies that often were end of FY buying, and it was quite a robust event.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts, sir?
Well, I think you know, we'll certainly, I think, also look at the fact that it really is back to the relations that you've discussed, and And increasingly, what we're finding is a lot of services, not just products. And, you know, I think there's a lot of really new ways of getting computing done that sort of takes us away from the traditional refresh cycles and so forth. So I also think that, you know, as IT market and government continues to evolve, and I candidly think we're in a really exciting time right now with the advent of cloud computing and trying to get there. You know, there's a lot of new ways to empower people, and so I think wherever you have a show, the key thing is, have you got the right players and the right suppliers? And I think though we certainly see a lot of competition in the market, I think yep. Fosse has a good head start in having kind of the stake in the ground on bringing those people together.
There you go. My guest today is Wyatt Cash, content director and editor at large for 1105 Media and Events. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new Fosse Institute. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, February 1st at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will focus on critical issues facing government and industry in cybersecurity. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, U.S. Cyber Command, and NIST. Don't miss The Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, February 1st at noon right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Lockheed Martin, McAfee, and CA Technologies.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on WFED 1500 AM. This week, my special guest is Rick Leeson, CFA and founder of Frontier Advisors, LLC. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
What is the One DHS vision and strategy? How is DHS right-sizing and consolidating its physical footprint? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these and other questions with Rafael Boris, Undersecretary for Management at DHS, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
On the move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with a CAPS Mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great CAPS prizes and much more. To join the CAPS Mobile Club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all CAPS Mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCAPS.com. Stay CAPS connected with CAPS Mobile.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"When it's an unfunded type of an initiative, they have to find the initial investment money somewhere. So you've heard the old adage, it takes money to save money, takes money to make money, right? So they have to find some initial funding in order to kickstart the effort and get the phase one going, and with the intention that the end result of phase one will result in a lower operating expense and they can recoup current year dollars to reinvest in the next phase. So they have to find it somewhere. Some of them can find it in their operating expenses. Some of it can defer other initiatives."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Plan now to attend the Federal Senior Management Conference, the preeminent conference for federal senior managers on April 10th through the 13th in beautiful Cambridge, Maryland. Presented by Fed Insider, FSMC is presented for government by government, with registration open only to government employees. Together with your peers, explore ways to execute the administration's newest policy initiatives to forward the business of government. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other. Welcome back to Amtower, our center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Wyatt Cash. Wyatt is the content director and editor-at-large at 1105 Media and Events. You can find them at 1105govinfo.com. Wyatt, when we were talking the other day, you thumbnailed for me the new concept of Fossey Institute. Let's start with a name and then delve into the concept, please.
Sure. We're real excited about that. Briefly, we've had a number of conferences that have been well established in the market, one on knowledge management and enterprise architecture and cybersecurity and so forth. Part of these are from the old eGov days, and many of them date back a dozen years. But each had generally become relatively siloed, like a lot of technology tends to. And one of the things we recognize is that we felt we could bring more value and education value to each of them, but also coordinate them better. And we also recognize they kind of lacked a little bit of cohesiveness and proper branding, to be honest. And so we were looking for a way to unify them, and though we looked at a lot of names, we also were sensitive to how long does it take to establish a brand in a market, and Fossey was right in front of us, and we felt like it's a brand that at least a lot of people know in the government sector.
35 years?
Yes, that's right, and associate with technology, and so we felt like let's take something we have as a strength and make it stronger. So we picked the name, created the Fossey Institute, and you know initially, you know the main mission is just to provide higher educational value and to all of these conferences that we have, and but longer term we're looking at being able to bring in a lot more fresh and original ideas. We have a huge new effort now at reaching out to industry, academia, as well as government through calls for papers, presentations, with a very robust effort to really identify new ideas that still could be applicable to government. And also looking at, you know, how do we bring in what's been learned at the Walmarts of the world and the banking industries of the world that could bring large-scale IT solutions into the government place for fresher thinking. And so we're putting a lot of energy across all of these conferences under the aegis of the Fossey Institute. Hopefully over the long run, we'll actually be able to do some original research and continue to work with various advisors who are experts in the market to help just strengthen all of those platforms. So we're excited about it. We've had good feedback initially. We know there'll be some skepticism about it because, you know, the people have thoughts about Fossey that may not have been at Fossey in a number of years. But we're moving forward with it, and we believe that when we get a year or so under our belt, the strength of this idea will really catch hold, and we're excited to see where it'll go.
Okay. Now, is it possible to delve into a little bit here what you envision for your, lack of a better phrase, alliances with industry and academia? What might we expect there?
Well, I think, number one, the most important thing, I think, is to identify good thought leadership that I think a lot of the conferences in the Washington market have been about relationships and networking, and those are all good and still needed. But a lot of the government folks that do come out can't really tell you too much for various reasons. They're kind of constrained by their public affairs people, and the case studies that they can talk about are often a couple years old, and it tends to be rear view mirror in some cases. So what we want to try to do is say, look, here's a variety of other ideas that could stimulate the thinking and advance what people are doing. And I think that's the shift that you'll see in these conferences.
Okay, so again, you're going to be leveraging, you know, key relationships that various people throughout 1105 have with key players in not simply in government and industry, but also the associations, not associations per se, but academia, your relationships with various academic institutions that focus on the government market.
That's right. We're certainly going to build on our relations. But I'll give you an example. We're going to be starting a new conference this year on the geospatial area, and we're working with several associations and consortiums that have a vested interest in this, but they've generally looked at the sort of the very specialized analyst who's familiar with geospatial technology. And one of the things we want to do is say, how do we really help a broader audience of project and program managers to use these tools? I'll make the analogy. It's a little bit like how we all sort of came to learn about spreadsheets, and pretty soon we didn't need to know how to, you know, program or code data. We just used the spreadsheet, and suddenly we were making a lot of better decisions. And we think geospatial is at the cusp of that, to allow non-technical people to really use place-based data in their decision-making. So one of the conferences that we'll be launching this September will be really focused on helping introduce that idea to the federal and state and local government managers, and still be tapping into the really knowledgeable people in the geospatial space. So I think that's a good example of kind of the new thinking that we're taking on how to revitalize not only our existing conferences, but launch new ones and reach out to a broader sphere of thought leadership.
Okay, now does this also imply that you're going to be tapping into some international experts on these things?
Well, I've already been in a few conversations on that, and I think that's a great opportunity, and we certainly have that on our horizon. We are already looking at 2012 pretty deeply, and expect that we'll be bringing more influences where it makes sense into our portfolio of conferences.
Yeah, because I was listening to Chris Dorbeck the other day on his show, and he had this lady, I believe, from Norway, and they're doing some extraordinary things in the geospatial area, and she's just like a city manager. So, I mean, the ideas literally come from everywhere.
That's right, and I think that's one of the things we want to try to do is look at ideas well outside the Beltway that could be relevant inside the Beltway.
Okay. Give me some final thoughts.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we feel like there are a lot of continuous changes in the IT marketplace. And so I think one of the things that we see is as relationships get built, they do change. And as technologies get established, new technologies come along. And so I think, the folks that I think are playing this field to the best advantage are the ones that are continually listening to what are the new and next ideas. We certainly have to keep track of what the administration is mandating, such as the 25 points. But how we get there is still a lot of unanswered questions. And so if we're doing our job right here, I think through publications and events and bringing the right thought leaders in those venues, then I think we can help the government and industry just do a better job of advancing what's being used and helping folks use it more effectively, and ultimately helping do a better job of delivering value to the American taxpayer.
Very cool. Wyatt, I greatly appreciate you joining me today. This has been very fun.
Mark, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate talking to you.
Well, thank you. You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Wyatt Cash, Content Director, Editor-at-Large, and Executive Director of the Foss.